Well, praise the Lord. Are we ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Thank you. Bring it on. All right, it's the coming. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, please. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And just hold your finger there. We won't get to the passage immediately, but I want to talk about a new series that we're going to embark on. I'd like to begin, believe it or not, a series the Sunday before the new year and carry it on through the beginning of the new year. I think that it is relevant to where you and I live in you know, the waning moments, dates of 2020, and standing on the precipice of a year that we pray offers us greater hope than what 2020 offered us. You know, there's a vaccine. There are a couple of vaccines out, like Pfizer and Moderna. And so that's hope for us. If the Congress and the politicians in Washington got their act together, we might get some jingle on the way. If it's 600, it's jingle. If it's 2,000, it's folding money. How many of y'all like the folding rather than the jingle?
Amen.
You guys are very smart. But we stand on the precipice of a new year. And, you know, sometimes we, and I'm guilty of this, we think that because a new year is upon us, that all of a sudden, without us putting forth any effort, that the new year will bring us automatically a new life. Let me ask you a question. Is that true?
No.
No. We're in a period of transition from one year to the next. And we want to make sure that 2021 is a great year for all of us, but we must first understand that we have a role to play in whether 2021 will be a blessing or will it be more of 2020. Right? You know, I've encountered people that live in a period of transition, but this transition doesn't lead to anything good. It's more of a repeat of all the bad that they've had. A couple of years ago, I was on the dating scene, summer of 2018. I was on the dating scene. I was footloose and fancy free. This is before I met Kelly, and I was on a couple of dating sites. And it seemed like the women that took an interest in me, that they had a pattern of having been married once, twice, three times, maybe even more, and they married the same kind of dude with the same kind of bad characteristics, the same kind of toxic behavior. And I thought, shouldn't you have learned after the first failed marriage that this was not a good situation? Say, for example, they have an abusive husband. The first husband's abusive. So then they get divorced. And they think that just because there's a new man, that the new man will not bring abusiveness to their lives. And guess what happened? Deja vu all over again, to quote Yogi Berra. And then that second one fails. They get divorced. And so she thinks, oh, there's a new man. He must love me. He's going to be good to me. And guess what? Abuse. Why do some people repeat over and over and over and never break through beyond a period of transition? Does this sound interesting, church family? Does this sound relevant to where we live? I want all of your 2021 to be a much better, much more blessed, much more healthier year than 2020 was for all of us.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
And so, you know, I took the prayer and this, I felt like the Lord laid this message on me. So let me say here, now that we know where we're headed, there are really only two things we do in life. If you boil life down to the nitty gritty, there are only two things. No, Joe, I do more. I bathe, I shave, I brush my teeth, I go to work, you know what I'm saying? But really, there are only two things we do in life. Number one, we lead, and number two, we enter.
Amen.
We enter, we lead, we lead, we enter. Who all here, this is a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it nonetheless. Who all here left your mother's womb?
Amen.
When you left your mother's womb, did you not enter infancy? Mm-hmm. Who all here left infancy and entered childhood? Mm-hmm. Who all here left childhood and entered adolescence? Right? We left adolescence and we entered adulthood. We left adulthood, well, I guess we're supposed to be adults till we die, hopefully. You know, we left young adulthood to maybe middle age. We left middle age to go into our quote-unquote golden years, right? So we leave and we enter and we leave. All right? So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, please, since we're here. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's begin reading with verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in. Can we say that's entering? Mm-hmm. Go in, enter in, and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Listen carefully. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Notice carefully, you're writing notes. Number one, why did he do it? He's telling us the why of why God led the Israelites through the wilderness. Number one, to do what? To humble you. Number two, to test you. To know what was in your heart. Now, how many of us know that God is all-knowing?
Amen.
He knows what's in our heart before he ever tests us. The test is to reveal to ourselves what truly is in our hearts. Whether you would keep his commandments or not. Okay? So, I'm going to title the series, Testing Ground. Testing Ground. I think it is important for us, you and me, to know that the Lord will test our hearts. Not for him to know what's in them. He already knows. But to reveal to us what are some of the issues that we have, listen carefully, in times of transition that keep us from, we might have left something, but we're in a transition, and instead of entering something better, we enter something the same. Why is it us? Well, I can tell you right off the bat, maybe if you're always looking to external circumstances to give you a better life, number one, they're not. Who here believes with me that life is what you and I make it? Right? It's what we make it. You know, the sad part about that scenario with the ladies that had been divorced 3 times, they had grown bitter. They developed a sour disposition. They believed that all men were fake, all men were the same, all men were abusers, all men were users, all men were haters. See the transition that happened within them? They got worse after the testing ground instead of getting better inwardly. Right? Deuteronomy 1:2 tells us that it's only an 8-day walk from Egypt to the promised land. 8 days. So why did it take this bunch? I mean, God speaking in Deuteronomy, listen carefully, God speaking to the second generation, not the first generation. The first generation had died. Just like God said, your carcasses, his words, not mine, will be strewn across the wilderness, the desert. So why did it take the first generation 40 years, and even then, though they left Egypt, they did not enter the promised land, why did they die in transition? Because sin in their hearts. If you're writing notes, jot this down. God tested the first generation of Israelites 10 different times. 10 different times. And every single time they failed the test. Let me give you the first test. I mean, I'm not going to go through all of them. You can look them up in the book of Exodus, the book of Numbers. But after they crossed the Red Sea, you know, Miriam, they had a big celebration and they begin to sing what is known as the Song of Moses. Miriam got herself a tambourine. She led all the ladies in singing and she was saying, I will sing to the Lord who has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider are thrown into the sea, and they were singing praises to God. And not a few days later, they were thirsty and they began to grumble to the Lord. Did you bring us out of Egypt so we could die of thirst? I bet none of us have ever done that. When the going gets tough, Lord, I thought you said you were going to take care of me. Did you forget about me, Lord? And God said, you know, because all that was there were bitter waters. The Hebrew word for that was marah, bitterness. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever come to a point of bitterness in your life? External bitterness? Mm-hmm. Can I probe a little? Did you allow the external bitterness to get inside of you? Isn't that a testing ground? Doesn't that test and show us what's really in our hearts? You know, I'll tell you, the people that never get anywhere in life are the ones that are out to blame. Listen, to fix the blame, they're not out to fix a problem. And you can curse your external bitterness all you want, and as long as you do that, that external bitterness will get on the inside. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Right? So you might be at a place of bitter waters. You know, the Lord had mercy on them, and the Lord told Moses, you know, there's a tree there, cut it down, place it in the waters, and as soon as that tree fell in the waters became sweet. They became drinkable. So are we in that period? Where are we? I'm asking, where are we today, December 27th, 2020, the last Sunday of the year? Is there bitterness in our hearts from 2020? Is there rancor? Was there a failed relationship? And if so, you know, let me be clear. It doesn't matter what happened externally. What really matters is what's happening to us internally. Are we angry about something? Are we allowing that anger to go with us into 2020? Because if you're, once again, if you're taking notes, write this down. The way you leave, listen carefully, the way you leave a season in life, the way you leave a phase in life, the way you leave a relationship is precisely the same way you will enter a new season in life, precisely the same way you will enter a new phase in life, precisely the same way you will enter a new relationship. The way we leave is the way we enter. So how are we leaving 2020? It's a testing ground.
Tough call.
But doesn't it beckon to us to look at our hearts? How many of us, I believe that we all would do ourselves a favor by taking personal inventory.
Brother Joe, you don't understand. I like to turn on National Public Radio, NPR.
Some of the Christians that I've heard of, listen, if you listen to that, more power to you. I don't. Because all they do all day long for hours is grind axes. And that's a place of external bitterness. And you're going to let that get in your heart. And all of a sudden you're all bitter and worked up. And you justify your bitterness. And you justify your anger. And this is holy righteousness. A righteous anger. Really? Oh gosh, your previous pastors, I knew guys that used to suck off of NPR for hours a day, and then when they would talk to me, I'm like, dude, I want to get away from you.
Amen.
Because of all the bitterness just spewing out of them. Is that the people we want to be? Do we want the way we left something to be the way we enter something new? Or do we want to change and look at our hearts? God tested them to see what was in their hearts. what is in our hearts after 2020. I will tell you, after having had COVID, you know what that sickness did? I'm still working through it. Thank God that I'm able to do things that, because I decided during that sickness that it was not going to waylay me. I was not going to become a couch potato. I was going to take my life back. You. I can only speak for myself. But that sickness provided a lot of perspective and life for me while I was down and out. A lot of perspective. What is essential in my life and what is not essential in my life. Amen?
Amen.
It showed me what had been in my heart and some of the corrections I need to make in my life. Because this virus is so new, it's called the novel coronavirus. Novel means new. We don't know a lot about it. It's killed some people, young people, without any underlying health conditions, and others make it, and they don't know why. You know, I was at peace if I wasn't going to make it. There were days, baby, that there was one night I didn't think I was going to make it through the night because I could not breathe. What am I saying is, you know, that was a point of external bitterness, but I had to make sure that my heart was right. Amen. Because the way we leave is the way we're going to enter. The way we leave 2020 is precisely the way we're going to enter 2021. All right. Okay, go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10, 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Okay, what's the word that repeats itself in those verses that we read?
All.
Let's read them again. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Let's all say that. What's the next word?
All
our fathers were under the cloud. What's the next word?
All
passed through the sea. What's the next word?
All
were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and
all
ate the same spiritual food, and
all
drank the same spiritual drink. Notice verse 5. But with, what's the next word?
Most.
But with most, God, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Did you see the pattern? All, and then it changes to most. God provided for how many of the people in the wilderness?
All.
God fed how many of the people in the wilderness?
All.
God gave drink to how many people in the wilderness?
All.
But did they all respond correctly?
No.
They failed the testing ground. They failed the testing ground. Because they did never stop to look at their hearts. Listen carefully, church family. I still have a few more thoughts to give you. But they never stopped to look at their hearts. So they failed. And as a consequence, where were they buried? In the wilderness. So can I offer a thought to you? Do we want to live the rest of our lives in a place of transition where it is nothing more than lather, rinse, repeat, lather, rinse, repeat, lather, rinse, repeat? We want to get stuck in a place of transition because we keep leaving the same way because we don't look at our hearts, thus we leave the way we enter. We don't understand that concept, so we're blaming all of our externals, we're blaming Washington, D.C., we're blaming Springfield in Illinois instead of looking at our hearts. I don't want it to be said of me, man. He could not shake that vice. He could not break that sinful stronghold on him. You know, we all have opportunities to deal with our demons.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And I want to deal with mine so that I leave well and I enter well.
Amen.
way we will enter. You know, the wilderness points are a testing ground. And we must embrace them. We must look at ourselves. What am I doing wrong? Lord, the call to worship that Scott shared. Search my heart, O God. Test me. If there is any wicked way in me, show me the way to everlasting life. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that's not a fun message. I could have just preached, oh, don't do anything automatically. It's all going to be good. It's all going to be great. I think some of the people at Planet Fitness that are already buying their membership for 2021, I'll tell you right now, it's just off talk. Can I talk experience? I'll see them for 2 weeks, middle of January, poof, like cockroaches fleeing when the light is turned on in the kitchen. Can I get a witness? Oh, right now they're hot to trot. Ooh, yeah, I got myself a black membership. I'm going to hit the treadmill. I'm going to hit the weights. I'm going to go and tan a little bit to have a nice toasty skin color or skin tone during the winter months. And then come, you see them, and the first week they're trying so hard. They're on that elliptical. And they're like, oh, yeah, I got to work it. And then they finish, and then they come back the next day. And then slowly but surely their workouts get shortened. And they start bringing in some ho-hos and some Twinkies and some Little Debbies and you know, come on, somebody. And then the next week they say, forget it, it's not for me. Anyway, it is what it is. I had another thought and it escaped me. But anyway, let me just sum this up. The way we lead a phase in life, a season of life, a relationship of life, a location, a geographical location in life, is precisely the way we will enter a new phase in life, season in life, relationship in life, or geographical location in life. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to carry my bitterness from one place to the next. Do you?
No.
I want to give the new relationship. I want to give the new season in life. I want to give the new phase of life a shot to work. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
The way we leave, baby, is the way we're going to enter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your goodness, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you help us, Lord, during this testing ground. You show us, you test us to see, to show us what's really in our hearts, Lord. What is essential to hold on to when we move forward, and what is not essential when it's something that we need to let go. Lord, we need to be looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to be flinging the sin and the weights that so easily beset us and run the race with perseverance. In Jesus' name. Let me finish. Here's the thought I had. This is very important. Here's the thought I had. Why did the Israelites want to go back to Egypt? A couple reasons. Every time they were tested, what did they say? Oh, we ate leeks. We ate onions in Egypt. Oh, we had drinking water. Oh, it was better in Egypt. Really? So why was it that in Exodus 1, the Bible says that they, the slaves in Egypt, had been crying out to the Lord, that God heard their cries of misery. God saw their misery. God looked upon their suffering, and God had mercy. But now they're saying they had it better in Egypt. Listen, two reasons why they kept going, wanting to go back to Egypt. Number one, a people without a future will always return to their past. Mm-hmm. A people without a place to go to, looking forward to the future, will always return to their comfort zone of the past. No matter how ugly it was, no matter how horrible it was, no matter how miserable it was. And sometimes people will romanticize the past because they have nothing to look forward to in the future. People without a future will always go back to their past. Right? And the second reason, quite frankly, is that they did not trust God. Do we trust God to provide us a new future?
Yes.
Listen, baby, God was trying, I'll say it this way, God was trying to take, he took them out of Egypt, out of the geographical place of Egypt, but God could not get Egypt out of them. Are we in that boat?
Yes.